Hey everybody, welcome to The Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake. And today we're doing a very special episode, so we got a very special guest on. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. Matt J from Super Sentai Brothers.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming back on. So last time you were on, we did Bird Boys from the Front Dimension,
Yes. Where
we turned Jetman into a Power Rangers show. This time, we're going to get a little weirder. The Bird Boys are back in town, but now we're going to go wrestling.
Same Bird Boys, different dimension.
Yes. So you and Dave on your April Fool's episode did what should be a real thing, and I'm furious it doesn't exist, Pro Wrestling Sentai Ringu Ranger, which is a fake wrestling-based Sentai series that, again, I'm so mad doesn't exist. And we're going to try to turn that into Power Rangers somehow.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm also furious that it doesn't exist. I have been furious about it for so long that eventually I convinced Dave and our producer Mark to put the whole thing together.
Yeah, nice.
I could tell because it's such a genuine episode. You guys are just so excited talking about it.
It's a lot of dreams coming true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so since we're talking pro wrestling, yesterday when this airs was WrestleMania. So that's why I guess we're doing it. We'll say that. It's wrestling season. So and also on your show on Super Sentai Brothers, the kayfabe is real and the show exists. But over here, we can pull back the curtain a little bit. But if ever anyone's on your show and they refer to it as anything other than real, kick them off.
Oh, yeah. No, it is 100% canon.
They're exposing the business. They got to go. So let's talk a little bit about how it came to be. What was the impetus other than there should be this thing?
Okay, so a couple of years ago, as we were starting up doing the Super Sentai Brothers, I have at this point watched a fair bit of Super Sentai, but I am not like a Super Sentai expert, right?
Right.
And so I would just like Google a random year and be like, oh, what was the theme of Sentai this year? Because it was always, well, it wasn't always crazy. Sometimes it was just dinosaurs again. But
right.
Like it seemed as though if there was any one theme you wanted, you could find a year that was that thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like because it's been going on for so long. And I started to look for what I assumed had to exist, which was a professional wrestling season of this show. Because, like, professional wrestling is huge in Japan.
Yeah.
Super Sentai has been going for years. And also, professional wrestling is a fighting style that is designed to look good on television.
Yeah, it is literally real-life Sentai.
Yeah.
And like, as close as you can get to real-life Sentai.
And it's kind of already got its own mythology.
Yeah.
So you could do it super easily. Like, people wear masks in professional wrestling. Like, not everybody, but it's enough of a thing that you can make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of them even have magical powers.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah. More than a few of them.
Yeah. Like, even now, people who've been around, like, Jushin Thunder Liger in Japan has a mask on. Like, originally, his suit is designed to, like, absorb and imprison demons.
Isn't Jushin Thunder Liger from an episode of Ultraman?
I think he was in Ultraman. I don't know if he started there. He definitely had a show that I don't know if he came from or if the show was based on him. I don't know, like, the chicken and the egg, but like there was a show about professional wrestler Jushin Thunder Liger capturing demons and imprisoning them within his suit that he just wore all the time.
Yeah, there's also, I don't know the lore behind him, but Tiger Mask, I think, started as a cartoon and became a real person, and that the Tiger Mask has been handed down. I think we're on number 4 or 5 at this point.
There's Tiger Mask 4, and then they made another show recently called Tiger Mask Golden or Tiger Mask W. I don't remember what the name of it is. But then at the last Wrestle Kingdom, Kota Ibushi played that Tiger Mask and fought his enemy, Tiger Mask Black, played by ACH. Like, it's professional wrestling is wacky and it's perfect for a Sentai.
It was years before I realized that King from Tekken was just Tiger Mask.
Yeah,
pretty much.
He's Leopard Mask. It's amazing that it hadn't happened yet. There is, I think, not the newest one, the Zodiac series. I don't know what it's, Kyururuger or something like that.
I don't know. I'm years away from getting to that.
You're quite some time because that's new and you're on like the 20th, maybe?
We're back in the mid, or the late 90s, I think, is where O-Ranger is.
I think the Bull Ranger is a professional wrestler, but I think that's the closest they've ever come.
And I know in Time Ranger, the Yellow Ranger in that show, I don't know if he was a professional wrestler or if he was a cage fighter, but he was definitely like a tournament fighting dude.
That makes a lot of sense as to why Katie kicked so much ass, you know, in Time Force.
Oh, yeah. I'm also wondering, because I haven't seen any of Mega Ranger, but in more fight scenes, Ashley did a lot of wrestling moves. She did a lot of arm bars and takedowns.
I think most of those were American footage because it was usually her fighting the Quantrons.
Oh, that's true.
So I think somebody on set just like, you know what Ashley should know how to do? Strong style.
Elbow drops and arm bars.
Yeah, so it didn't exist. And so eventually you're like, no, I must use the secret and put it into the universe.
Yeah, and so it's something that like festered in the back of my mind for a long time. And I had told my brother Dave and our producer Mark about it a couple of years ago. And when we were trying to figure out something to do for the April Fool's episode, because like we super did not have time to like watch an episode and like think of five stars to do on the show this
right.
week or last week. We're like, okay, well, why don't we do something different, you know? And Dave suggested, like, why don't we finally do Ringer Ranger? Which the name of which, by the way, we did not have. Like, we started talking about it, and Mark pulled that out in like 3 seconds. I don't know if he had been thinking about it for a long time.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Mark to just have that like on a back burner somewhere, yeah, just ready to go.
Mark has a deep, deep bench of like secret projects that are in various stages of development. Mark wrote and put together the theme song for the Ringer Ranger.
Yeah, it was great.
The lyrics of it were in English because nobody I know like speaks Japanese. And so we were a little worried that people would hear that and it would give the game away. But no one called us on it.
No, I mean, I think the thing is when you're listening to it, you're expecting a Japanese song. So you're not really listening to the words as well as you could.
Yeah,
you're
probably
like Ringer Ranger and you're like, okay, yeah, no, probably. And
that
then
seems
later
right.
you go back and you're like, that's definitely Mark.
it's actually not. That is another friend of our show, the show Brian.
Okay, was he on Spectre?
Yes,
he's the Brian that was on Spectre. Okay, so I knew the voice was familiar then.
Yeah,
it was new to me.
you can find Brian every week on the Mount Olympus cast.
Yes,
where they're watching Xena and Hercules because they like themselves and hate themselves in equal measure.
Yeah, my favorite is that their slogan is we are the number one Hercules podcast and the number 20-25 Xena podcast. So you guys did this, you had like you said before we started recording, you had like a beat sheet document kind of thing, or just like was it just like some spaghetti stuck to a wall that you were like, let's make a show of this?
We had named the characters. Basically, we had named and designed the characters, the monster of the week. Like, we had a name for the big bad, and I think that was basically it. We had a couple of other, like, world-buildy things built up, and then the rest of it, we just sort of, like, hit record and started to talk about it as though we had seen the episode.
Right. And I think you guys have done enough episodes that, like, you know the feeling of how a Sentai episode goes. So
yeah,
can,
especially
like,
the first
it.
Episode of a series. Like, there is definitely a pattern to those.
Yeah, for sure. And, it, like, what's weird is it is very different from a Power Rangers episode, because Power Rangers, like, get it all in right now. Like, mm-hmm. except for Lost Galaxy, which was just a total mess and nightmare. But everything else is, like, get everything up front, and then we'll figure it, the rest of it out on the back end, whereas Sentai's like, no, we're gonna take our time. We're going to do what we're going to do this right.
Can I give you a taste, but a small taste?
Yeah, because you're going to come back next week, and eventually, you're just going to keep coming back forever.
You need to see all of those robots in all of their modes. Because if you don't know what all the modes are, you might not buy every toy.
and then what are we even doing here?
Right.
If you're not buying all the toys. So, I think that's all the backstory that I think we need to give everyone a good idea of where we're coming from on this.
Yeah, so sadly, anything that was not in that episode, like, we didn't have, like, a full series Bible on this thing. So we're going to have to sort of be playing a little fast and loose with, like, what stuff is or could be, but that's cool.
Right. That's fine. That's you know, that's something we're okay at. So we have, I don't know where we should start. Probably the characters. I think that's probably the easiest place to start.
Yeah, probably.
So I have them written down. I wrote them down real quick because you, again, pulling back the curtain a little bit more, you emailed us in Ranger Danger and was like, I want this to be a real thing, like a Power Rangers version. And we're like, hey, we need an episode and we love professional wrestling. So like, let's jump on that. So I wrote down the Rangers, their color, their like element theme, and then like what wrestling style they practice. So we got Koji, the Red Lightning Ranger, who practices strong style, which is like the Japanese, like hard-hitting style of wrestling. There's Mizuki, the Yellow Quake Ranger, who wrestles like kind of American style, but like American power style. Like your I want to say like Braun Strowman is like the best example of this.
Yeah, like taking them off their feet is an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, right. Maybe in a perfect world, Keith Lee style, where like, yeah, sometimes she'll just throw a moonsault out there.
Or just like a suicide dive.
Yeah. Keith Lee's like 6 foot, 300 pounds, like should not be leaving his feet. And is like, no, I like to do this stuff, so I'm going to.
That is pure madness.
He is great. One time he got monkey flipped and he flipped all the way around and landed on his feet. And Raymond Rowe, who is like the baddest dude in professional wrestling, like stopped the match to be like, what just happened? And he's like went outside the ring to like recoup because he could not believe that this giant man just like stuck the landing on a monkey flip. There's Takeshi, the Blue Hurricane Ranger. He wrestles what I'm going to call WWF heel style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like talking and like trash talk and not like cheap shots, but I'm imagining like a lot of like
a lot more kicking and punching.
Yeah, like quick annoying moves rather than.
Yeah, he, like he's definitely throwing you off the game with his trash talk and like getting in a shot here and there.
Yeah, everything else is secondary to that. There's Hiro, the Green Tornado Ranger, who is Lucha Libre style. He like trained in Mexico and always wears a mask.
Of course, that is his honor.
You guys
it throws out just very random Spanish.
Yeah, well, Jiraiya did that in Kaku Ranger. Like, every once in a while, he would just say something in English, and it was like, what did I just hear? Okay.
It was so weird whenever he did that, because, like, obviously, I speak English, but, like, I was so in the zone of listening to people speak Japanese that I had to, like, stop and recalibrate my brain to understand what he was saying.
Thankfully, they kept it subtitled, so you could just keep reading it.
Yeah, every once in a while, he'd just be like, we got this. And I'd be like, do they know what you're saying? I hope they figured it out. And then finally, there is Yuriko, the Pink Typhoon Ranger. And she wrestles British catch-as-catch-can style.
A lot of technical stuff, submission-based. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want it to be like actual submission-based wrestling because this is a fun television show in theory.
Right, yeah.
Although I would love it if you make like one of the jobbers tap out and they just poof as soon as they tap.
That's you knock them out, you pin them, or you make them tap out. That's the only way to get rid of them. Well, I imagine it a lot like, have you guys ever seen any like old like World of Sport like Johnny Saint wrestling matches? There's a lot of like weird counters and stuff. Like it's very quick, but it's not necessarily like a bunch of submissions. That's kind of what I pictured for her.
Yeah. And then they have a mentor.
Yes, their mentor is the Angel, who is loosely based on El Santo.
Yeah, he's basically Japanese El Santo, but he's a 1,000-year-old wrestling, like, immortal champion.
Yeah, God, this show is so good. Why doesn't it exist?
So the idea behind the Angel and sort of, like, the premise of the Sentai show was that, like, 1,000 years ago... Angel was one of the two great champions from Earth who had defeated the intergalactic heel champion in a, like, you know, some sort of tournament match to win the belt and also, like, protect Earth from destruction. It's like Galactus came to Earth and his wrestling was the ultimate nullifier.
Right. Instead of a herald, like, he showed up and no one, like, tricked him out. They were like, all right, we're gonna wrestle you for the safety of this planet. And then 1,000 years later he comes back being like, hey, I'm mad that I didn't get one.
Yeah, he's gotta get his win back.
Yeah. He's not content with beating everybody else because that one is the one that got away.
Rematch clause.
Yeah. So I love the idea that in like the secret underground gym underneath the wrestling gym, there is just this like intergalactic championship on the wall. Mm-hmm. That's like this keeps us safe. Like,
it's in the trophy case. And if it ever leaves the trophy case for more than, I don't know. I mean, I'm making this stuff up off the top of my head, but if it ever leaves the trophy case for more than, I don't know, an episode or a cliffhanger.
Right. then the earth is doomed.
Yeah.
We've lost our protection. And again, you can obviously put it on the line. So every time they wrestle, that belt is on the line then.
Yeah, I guess. What if the belt is the, like, their conduit to the Morphin Grid, basically? So they all have their own individual belts, but those get their power from, like, the intergalactic belt that is down in the basement.
Yeah. And I think for the, because the main bad guy's name is Champion Drago, right?
Yeah.
So his whole thing is that, like, he is the intergalactic champion of the universe. So, like, he had beaten every other planet. And so they are all under his, like, thrall. They're all in his stable now, essentially.
Yeah, he has an endless stable of monster heels. Literally monster heels.
Literally. which we will definitely get to in a little bit. But they're, like, I like the idea that he is Champion Drago, but in the Power Rangers version, he doesn't have the championship because that's what's on Earth.
That's why he's here. He needs to win that championship. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why, like, it's on the line every time to his, like, minions. I don't know. That's not a great idea because, like, if they win, then they're the champion, and then, like, he's got to beat them. But he's like, I beat them once. I can beat them again.
Well, then you just have a finger poke of doom situation.
That's true.
Where the monster of the week would just take the fall for Drago.
By the way, I hope everyone listening likes pro wrestling because we might get a little in the weeds on this one. So then there was also a bit about how Koji is the descendant of the Angel's former partner who, like, died winning this championship.
Yeah. And we didn't go into a lot of detail on that because it kind of didn't make sense because, like, if that was the case, then those would have been the tag team belts.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the way to a fix for that is that Angel isn't the owner of that championship. Like, his former partner was, and he, like, because he won but died. So, like, the rules of intergalactic wrestling are a little shaky on that.
Okay.
So he just kept it here, and that's why he needs the Red Ranger to, like,
oh, that's good. Yeah.
Like, have ownership, essentially, of it.
Right. Only he can unlock the true power of the belt.
Yeah, and that's how you get your Megazords to fight your giant, Power Slam wolves. Well, I guess he doesn't get giant, but
he would everybody have, else eventually.
Will. Yeah, yeah. I don't know where we should start with.
Should we start by casting, not like with real people, I guess, but casting the Rangers? Like, what would the Power Ranger versions of the Rangers be?
I think to begin answering that question, we need to figure out what year this would have come out, because an American TV show based on professional wrestling is going to be very different in 97 or 2003.
Because you said 98 for the Sentai,
mm-hmm.
Around there, which would have put this at 99. So we're like
peak Attitude Era.
We're just past peak Attitude. So WCW is officially losing.
Okay, but it's still around, right?
It's still around. Yeah, it's still got 2 years left in it before the money runs out. So, like, NWO was very big. So, like, this, like, the idea of there being, like, a split, I was thinking, trying to think about, but I think that might be a little too complicated for a Sentai show where there's only technically five people on one team, and then there's a whole other bad guy force.
I don't know. What was it? What did Hurricane Ranger become? The second ninja show.
Ninja Storm.
There were two factions in Ninja Storm, weren't there?
Yeah, that's true. There was. There was the regular ones and, like, the Thunder Rangers. I call them the Beetle Rangers because they look like beetles, but I don't know what their actual name is. I haven't watched that show yet.
Yeah, it's the Power Rangers and the Beetleborgs.
Yeah. Totally different things. Which we definitely should do Beetleborgs once we finish Power Rangers. Once we're all caught up in 9 years, we should just do
Well, the Beetleborg outfits did show up in Forever Red, right?
Yeah, they used a lot of the secondary ones as like the bad guys. So like, there were some of the villains from Beetleborgs, but there's also like just straight up like two or three of the good guy Beetleborgs as villains, because they're like, we have the suits and no one but Jake remembers Beetleborgs. So it should be fine. And I was like, oh, that's definitely the Shadowborgs. You can't fool me. So if it's 99, that puts us at the that weird, like, I don't know.
If it's more convenient, we can push a year or two in either direction.
Well, here's my biggest thing with it. Are these teens or are they college age? Because if they are going to be professional wrestlers outside of the masks,
that's true.
What age range should they be?
Oh, that is a good question.
Because there's no professional wrestling high school team.
I mean, not in the real world, not in this fallen world, but
maybe.
Right. In the beautiful, pure utopia that is this show that we're putting together, there could be Wrestle High School.
Yeah.
Look, I'm into that if that's what we want to do. Let's write it down.
It could either be, you know, like early 20s, you know, college age people, or it could be Wrestle High School, like specifically like a wrestling high school, or maybe there's just like, instead of hanging out at the makeshift dojo, the juice bar, they all like train at a wrestling place after school.
That could be, yeah, if they're like juniors or seniors, and instead of hanging out at the juice bar, they are training at a wrestling school.
Yeah, they're in like wrestle club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Because I like teenage rangers better than I like adult rangers. Because like, I don't know, there's just something about like adult rangers that makes me mad that I'm not a Power Ranger, you know?
Right, well, I've already missed my window on being a teenage Power
Ranger.
Yeah,
that's flown out the window a long time ago. But like, if there's like adult rangers, like why not me? So yeah, okay. So the other thing I wanted to change is to change Angel to a woman.
Okay.
And have it be a Japanese woman who is a former like All Japan Joshi like wrestler.
Okay. Played by Bull Nakano.
If we can get Bull Nakano, it could just be an actor who trains under Bull Nakano.
Right. We could at least get her in for a cameo.
Yeah, for sure. Her name could be Nakano if we want to go there with it, because like the best wrestling in the history of mankind is the 90s Joshi wrestling. Like there is nothing better on the face of this earth. So I would love it if like they're like, yeah, let's join Wrestle Club, and they get there and like it's because like it's the 90s, so they got to be like a little weirdly sexist, but oh, sure, it's a woman, and then she's like throwing like power bombs and just like pile driving suckers, like
where she's like, a woman, well, come run the ropes with me. And she just like slams the crap out of all of them in a quick montage. And we just cut back and they're all just like groaning, hanging out of the ring.
I think her introduction. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying that that works pretty well, because right now with the Sentai version, there were three men and two women on the team. So if we swap out Angel for a woman mentor coach character, that gives us a little more cast parity.
Yeah. And I think her introduction should be the Rangers are like, they're in Wrestle Club now, or like the Koji analog, like joins Wrestle Club, and they're like, there's a bunch of the jobbers, which are the putties. I don't know what you got. The Drago fighters, mm-hmm, is what you guys call them. I like calling them jobbers because it's like local talent.
Yeah. It is exactly what they are.
I was calling them jobbies.
The jobbies. Their gimmick is great, that they are regular people that like have had masks put on them, and that turns them into the jobbers.
Literally local talent.
Like local enhancement talent. That's beautiful.
They're local. They have been enhanced.
I almost had to pull my car over.
So I like the idea that like there's a bunch of them grouping up on the Koji character, and then she steps in and starts like throwing bombs like right away, and he's like, I need you to teach me how to wrestle, because that would be the best.
Hey, listen, if I had that as a formative experience in my life, I would be like 13 years into a professional wrestling career right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, I'm 33 years old, hold on. I would be more than 13 years in if that happened to me when I was 17. We're gonna roll past 16. That, so I don't have to consider my mortality.
Yeah. Oh, we have a listener, Benny, who just loves sending us just like reminders. Oh, by the way, we got an email from him. Let me just read that real quick.
Is it just wow, you guys are so old, huh?
Kind of. Just to show you like what Benny is about. He was on one of our episodes because he like is a statistician at heart, and so like he like has like this like metric for it's like very interesting, but there's like a lot of math, secret math from our episodes that he rates.
Okay.
And like there is, so he figured out exactly how long until we catch up, like how long we are going to be doing this show before we catch up. But we did a prank episode where we just redid the first episode of Power Rangers, but like if we were good at podcasting instead of like garbage like we were when we started.
Oh gosh, I hope that nobody goes back and listens to the first episode of my show. I mean, I kind of do, because that means they're listening, but boy, just don't tell me about how you feel about the show until at least episode 10.
So, oh, don't tell me until episode 100. Like, every time someone's like, oh, I just started listening to the classic feed, I was like, don't. You don't need to.
I should just delete that.
No, it needs to be up, but I just don't tell me about it until you hit, like, the movie episode, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. So we talked about when he was on, we talked about him, like, you know, like what we would have to do to like have him rate the stuff before we started doing like our best, worst, and MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, this is the email we got in response to our prank episode. Hello, Joshua and JJ, spelled J-A-Y-J-A-Y, oh, which is not how I do it. Because again, this is from the prank episode.
My mother doesn't even call me Joshua.
Anyone who I didn't go to high school with or my little brother that calls me JJ, I'm like, don't do that. You don't need to do that. I have clearly been remiss since completing step one in my evil plans, getting onto our show. Your April Fool's prank this year has gone too far. You mock my database with your teasing of a best worst MVP for an MMPR episode, and you have forced my hand. I now present a fun fact.
Oh, no.
A child born at the beginning of your podcast could be in the sixth grade by the time we get to 2026, when you likely catch up to the then current season of Power Rangers. Enjoy, Benny.
too cruel, Benny.
That's how our fans interact with us on this show. So that's, again, just a moment to consider our mortality. Back to Power Rangers. I'm just calling it Power Rangers Grap Squad until we think of a better name.
All I had was Grapple Force. I like Grap Squad better.
That's like clearly a parody title, but it's also maybe the best.
It's pretty good, though, Catch Rangers. Thing about it.
So we got the mentor figured out. We'll name her Nakano. Her first name can be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another. Who's my other favorite? Well, I like Cutie Suzuki, but Cutie is like a weird first name to give a human being.
Aja.
Yeah.
Aja Nakano might be a little on the nose,
but... It might be.
Akira, because Akira Hokuto.
I don't know. When we were choosing the Japanese names for the characters in Ringo Ranger, there is a table in the Dungeons & Dragons source book, Xanathar's Guide to Everything, with male and female Japanese names, and we just rolled on the table.
Oh, nice.
I think Kana Nakano has like a good limerick quality to it.
It does. And I love Mia Kana, currently Asuka, who took her name from a Japanese wrestler, Lioness Asuka, who invented about a third of the moves that pretty much
that wrestlers do.
Yeah, most of the moves that wrestlers do were invented by either Kaiji Muto or Lioness Asuka. Like, those are the two people that invented most of the
most
good
of
moves.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Everything outside of a vertical suplex.
Yeah, or a headlock. Now let's go to Koji, our Red Ranger. There has never been a Japanese-American Red Ranger, I don't think. Like, to my knowledge.
Well, you would know better than me.
I am not a lot better, because I my knowledge stops at a certain point. But I'm pretty sure that I heard that relatively recently. I might be wrong.
I mean, if there ever was going to be one, it should have been in Samurai.
Oh, that was a super duper white dude, though.
Yeah. It was an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Yeah.
The Samurai, boy. Chad.
Yeah, he's like, the Red Ranger, no one got last names in Samurai except for him, and it's like a Japanese last name, but it's just like this very, very white dude.
Cool.
No doubt.
Nice.
I kind of like just keeping him Koji.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
And just like, because the strong style I think would work best for someone who like fits a little better in that mold than like, because like whenever like, because there's like British Strong Style, like the wrestler group that, or like whenever anyone over here does like what they think like their version of Strong Style, it's always like you're just hitting a little harder. You're not like getting the nuances of Strong Style.
Yeah. And what I like about Strong Style for a Red Ranger is it's more sort of like to the point than other styles.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Red Ranger like is normally like that. You know, he's not doing hip hop keto.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, listen, yeah, he should be.
Everyone could do a little hip hop keto, right? It wouldn't hurt anyone.
Everyone should be required to take a class in hip hop keto.
Yeah.
You get the one tape. It's got the one song on it. That's it. yeah, it's like a Strong Style is like a very like hard hitting, no nonsense, direct way to wrestle. And like there's a lot of like, I'm gonna suplex you onto your neck. Which I think works very well for a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
And like lightning, like is, you know, it strikes very hard. Like it, that's kind of the thing you get
from it.
It
only needs to strike once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of works out. Let's move on to Mizuki, who is described as like a I'm about to believe this, but a brick shit house. Like, yeah. Which is great because no Rangers have been so far. So again, we're making the perfect wrestling, the Power Rangers series here.
So I'm trying to think of what this character can like what her deal is gonna be.
It's because obviously, so the thing with Yellow Rangers is that they are always like the secret murder weapons.
Yes.
Maybe not so secret, but they're always like in the best example is in Green with Evil when Evil Tommy breaks into the Megazord. He punches Trini out first because he knows that's the biggest problem he has. Is like if he leaves Trini alone for 2 seconds, he's gonna die.
She did murder kick a putty right into a tree.
That's true.
And like in Jetman, the Yellow Ranger in that show, Yellow Owl, his special move is just picking up a boulder and throwing it at you.
Yeah. And there's like Yuri on O-Ranger right now, who is like number one, perfect in every way, and number two, like just ready to throw hands, like always.
Yeah. The sickest kicks.
Yeah. She's my favorite.
I can picture the Yellow Ranger, at least morphed while they're fighting like a group of jobbies, using Ad Jobby as a weapon a lot against the others, like swinging them or throwing them at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely got to be like, talking about this the other day, some Quebecer offense.
Yeah.
Like grabbing one and just like dropping them onto another one.
Just back body drop your tag team partner at your enemies.
But instead of your tag team partner, it's another enemy.
Yeah, I like her a lot as just like a stand your ground, like, you can't move me. I'm going to throw you as far as I can.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we want to do for a name? Are we bothering with names?
I don't know if we should bother with names.
We might be here literally all night if we are doing that.
Yeah, because we'll all come up with 1,000 different references and why they should work.
Right. in future iterations, if this gets if this takes off, we could, you know, we could workshop it with Dave's get everyone get a hand on this ball.
Yeah.
But for now, we'll just like kind of skip past it. But I just like the idea that like there's this big girl and like when she morphs, like she's super duper dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. So who is up next on your list?
Next up is Takeshi, the Blue Hurricane Ranger. And this should just be like 1999 teen Dolph Ziggler, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Right.
Like just like a slimy dude.
Oh, yeah.
His hair is always the most oily.
It's just bleached blonde and slicked back.
And like at this point in the show, like the Blue Rangers are all like the smart one. Asterisk, Rocky was a Blue Ranger and he wasn't very smart, but that's the best version of Rocky, so I'm not going to fault him for anything. But like the idea that like the reason he's smart is that he doesn't really wrestle so much as like he's more about the psychology of wrestling.
Yeah, he trash talks so much and gets them so worked up that they make mistakes.
Yeah.
Also, when he's unmorphed, he always has sunglasses on, and when he's about to like go into a monologue, he just shoves them down his nose and looks over them a little.
Now, since this is like late 90s, these are like circle frame sunglasses, right?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either that or Ray-Bans. Those are our two options.
I was weighing the options.
It's just an honest to goodness pair of Bret Hart sunglasses.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I said Ray-Bans. I'm forgetting the 90s entirely. It would be Oakleys.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're Oakleys.
Super duper Oakleys.
And this God. Could legitimately, like, based on the timeline, just be played by Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, and like the Hurricane, like, again, I liked it, like, their things kind of match them. Like, you don't really realize it at first, but like Quake being like this, like, immovable thing, like, that kind of works, and like Hurricane being like the one that'll like trip you up and like kind of ruin your day and mm-hmm. then beat you is very good. Next up is Hero, the Green Tornado, who wrestles Lucha Libre style, and again, Tornado for a luchador is just perfect.
Do we keep the mask gimmick?
No, I don't think we can get away with that in the high school show.
Okay, that's
yeah,
fair.
Probably not if he has to be like in class.
Yeah, because I once put a wrestling mask on in class and I was sent to the principal. So in my defense, my teacher was a wicked jerk and I thought it was hilarious. So she turned around, and when she turned back, I had a wrestling mask on. And then me and my friend were sent to the principal. So, you know.
So this dude should absolutely be like actual Mexican American.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that was one thing that we're kind of struggling with when we were putting together the Sentai. It's like, man, by all rights, this dude should just be Mexican, but it's a Sentai show, so literally everyone is Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that is, you know, to your credit, Mexico and Japan, as far as wrestling goes, like, they trade talent a lot. Like, they're always, like, sending one mm-hmm. to the, you know, to the other. So, like, it makes sense that, like, a Japanese wrestler like was sent down to Mexico and then like trained there and was like, I'm just gonna take up this mask and I'm gonna do Lucha Libre style, and then went back and still has that, because that like happens today. Like the wrestler in New Japan, Bushi, is like that. So
yeah, there's a whole faction in Japan,
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yeah,
they're mostly I think they're all Japanese, but at one point or another they all went to Mexico and were in Los Ingobernables, the Mexican mm-hmm. version, and then when they went back they have like the Splinter Cell. They're all very cool.
I think Nakamura was in Japan or in Mexico for a long time too.
That's when he became
like, that is when he became the Nakamura with a capital
the
N.
Nakamura, yeah, because before then he was like black boots, black tights. Mm-hmm. He was like mostly an MMA guy. Like, he knew MMA. Like, his gimmick was like, I was an MMA fighter. And then he went there and was like, I'm just going to be super annoying. So he invented the Nakamura character. And everyone was like, oh, we love this, though. And now he's like, you know, wrestling in the main event at WrestleMania this Sunday. So
it's gonna be very
yesterday.
Good. Or yeah. I guess will all know if it was very good. But boy, I hope it was.
I can't imagine that match will be bad. Anything else could go either way, but AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura has got to be the best.
I think the only way that match could be bad is if halfway through, Kane breaks up through the middle of the ring.
Well, he's all tied up with John Cena right now.
And he drags him straight to hail.
Hail.
Do we want to have one of our Rangers be like, what the hell's the word? Because some of them are like the child of an actual professional wrestler.
Oh, like a legacy or a second generation. I was just saying legacy because of the faction legacy, but I don't know if that's actually the right term.
Just a second generation wrestler, or like, you know, third or fourth or whatever. I think that should absolutely be the Green Ranger then. Like, if like his dad is like a legit luchador, that would be a great episode.
What if he is training with his dad to become like a junior, like a whoever his dad is junior?
Oh yeah, that would be good.
So he always wants to put the mask on because he's trying to like inhabit the character, but
yeah,
he keeps getting yelled at by his teachers.
Yeah, because he has it like, you can't put a wrestling mask on in school, and also like this isn't Mexico where like El Santo was buried in his mask, or Mil Máscaras was. I think El Santo took it off right before he died, but I'm not sure on that either.
I think that's why he died. He took it off, and then that was
it.
He
took it off.
He lost his power.
All his power cut out.
But like legitimately, like, nobody knows what Mil Máscaras looks like. He put it on, and he had a million of them. He had a bunch of different masks.
Sometimes like, over the one, he had multiple on at once.
Can I tell you? That's my favorite trick.
It's a good gimmick.
It's never not satisfying when they take the mask off and there's the mask again, and just like a little tighter.
It's good in wrestling. Yeah, it's good in comics. I know Robin has done that on at least two occasions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Pro wrestling is pretty much a Sentai in comic books, yeah. Right? Like, but yeah, I like him being like a second generation wrestler, because like, again, we can have like the dad come in later to like either teach him a signature move, or to be like, if he's mad at him, to be like, you're not like doing as well because you're always off in wrestling club instead of actually training. It's like, well, I am training. I just can't tell you what we do in wrestling club because
I'm a
Power Ranger.
What if in a later episode, like the dad finds out somehow and we get a like when Samurai Red's sister has to like step in for him, but instead it's Green's dad has to step in?
I just think there should be a team up. Like,
yeah,
like his dad in his full luchador gear and him as a Power Ranger doing like some sick tag team work.
That would be pretty cool.
And then lastly is the Pink Ranger, who's a Typhoon Ranger who wrestles like British catch-as-catch-can style, like World of Sports style, which is like a lot of chain wrestling, a lot of like very just technical stuff.
Stretches.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr. style.
Yeah.
Yes, but with less drawn-out submissions.
Yeah.
By the way, Zack Sabre Jr. Has always been very good. Recently, leveled up to like 1,000 times his level.
Oh, yeah.
And is just because he's in New Japan now. He just wrestled for the New Japan heavyweight title, mm-hmm. and like, dude's just doing crazy stuff over there.
Okay, so do we want the Pink Ranger to be British, like a foreign exchange student?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Now, do we want? Okay, so the character is British. Do we want the actress to be British?
Yes.
Or should the actress be like, because when I was a kid, I always thought, because I guess I just didn't pay that close attention, because they straight up do say that Kat is Australian, but I genuinely thought that the character was British because I was a kid and she had an accent.
Yeah. Well, Catherine Sutherland is Australian, but I think was told to tone down her accent, so it came out as a weird British a lot of the time. I personally would like her to not be actually British and have to do a bad British accent, because like that's the kind of show Power Rangers is a lot of the time.
That's true.
That said, it would probably be better if she was just actually British.
It would be way better.
But yeah, and also she's like a little smaller. Okay, so in the first part of, if you remember, I know you don't have like the document in front of you, but there, Koji fought one of the Durago fighters and like unmasked it, and it was like a girl that ran away.
Yeah.
I was fully expecting that to be one of the Power Rangers. Is that how we introduce the Pink Ranger?
Oh, that could be good.
Like she gets freed from the Durago thing and is like, oh no, I'm gonna fight them now. Like now I'm in.
I do like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Cause that would be very good to like give her like a personal vendetta other than like, I like wrestling, you know, like
I like wrestling and I also hate you.
Yeah.
Like the first couple of Javi battles, she's like a little hesitant because she knows this regular people are in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's why she makes him tap out, because she doesn't want to like knock him out. So she's like,
yes.
You know, she gets, as soon as you tap three times, the mask just, and then you're a human again.
And I do think we mentioned this maybe in passing in our episode, but I think it's very important that when the Jobbies get defeated, like the monster form is defeated, but the person who had been the Jobby is fine.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a little disoriented, yes. But not like injured.
Right. Not like, yeah, not like, oh no, you just brain bustered me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There could be a lot of good scenes like after a big Jobby fight of the Rangers kind of convening and talking about like where the monster went, and just blurry in the background are just a bunch of confused people.
Like six people standing up.
Like kind of wandering around and like looking at their, well, I guess not looking at their phone because it's 1999.
Watches?
Just looking up at the stars to see if they can determine where they are.
Pulling a full paper atlas out of their back pockets.
Good thing I have this trusty map.
Oh, God. Do you guys remember time before cell phones? Because I kind of don't.
I genuinely did not have a cell phone until after college.
I was in college. I was 19. It was like 2010, 2009 or 10 when I got my first one. And I didn't really use it at all because it was like if you wanted to text, you had to hit the number three times. I was not about that life.
Oh, no, no, no,
so,
no.
So, like, I used it a couple times. I didn't really use it at all until I got, like, a one with a keyboard on it. But, like, every time I watch Ghostbusters, which is every year on my birthday at least, like, the scene where they're like, where's Egon and Winston? And they're just gone. I'm like, they just don't know. Like, they just can't find them.
They just have to wait for them to turn up.
Yeah. I was watching Double Impact the other day. And there is a scene where one of Jean-Claude Van Damme is in the kitchen, like, making some dinner. And he gets a phone call from somebody else, the other Jean-Claude Van Damme's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, like, Chad, I need you to go find Alex. Because neither of Jean-Claude Van Damme's characters' names in that movie make any sense if you look at him or hear him for 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no way that dude can be a Chad or Alex.
No.
Also,
maybe when he had the mullet.
Also, neither of the characters are French or Belgian, but they have to work in an excuse very early in the movie why both of them have a very obvious accent. Like, one of them gets... Have you seen Double Impact?
I have. It's been a very long time, though.
Okay, so they're like twins who get separated at when they're babies, because their parents are killed by, like, the Hong Kong mobs.
Sure.
And then they need to, like, meet back up and take on the mob to, like, win back their family's business or something like that. I forget.
That makes a lot of sense. This was made in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah. So, but when they are split up, one of them is, like, taken to France and raised there, and the other one is in Hong Kong, dropped off at an orphanage that is run by French nuns.
Okay. This is just Jackie Chan's Twin Dragons, but with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, kind of. Listen, it's a very good movie. The point is that if they had a cell phone, there was this one scene that would have been easier. Because they're like, oh, yeah, like, they were looking for someone. That person was very close by. They were just, like, outside chopping firewood, but he wasn't sure, like, which direction from the house he had gone. So he's like, well, I guess I'll just leave.
And hope that the plot takes me where it needs to go. So that's all the main characters. So do we want to talk about, like, what we would do for Drago? Because I feel like that's pretty much a bulletproof gimmick already.
Yeah. So do we want to keep the same design or do we want to Lord Zed this up? I mean, introduce a new character design that is not in the Sentai.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do that a lot, and then they have, like, the main bad guy be just, like, a chump they beat towards the end of the season. It might be easier to have it be a new design if it was...
Could we do a new design but have the original, like, champion Drago suit be, like, the Goldar?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
And then that's like the second to last person they beat is the actual villain. And then.
Which is good because there's already a lot of good footage of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that. So our new villain. Okay, so here's the thing that I was thinking is because when we get to the monster of the week, like, they're all the champion of their planet.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, the name structure that we were going to go with, at least in the Sentai, was like. Wrestling move name, animal type. So, yeah. Like, the first one was Power Slam Wolf.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But, of course, it wouldn't be Power Slam Wolf in the Power Rangers. It would be, like...
I was trying to think of a good,
Wolf Flex.
Yeah.
something like that. Because I think we could still stick with the, like... Because there's enough wrestling moves that we could make it work. But, like, wrestling move animal, but, like, either flip them around or portmanteau them in a weird way.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, like, wolf slam or something like that for that.
But, slam face.
So, like, I imagine that the new bad guy is, like, the former champion, the former intergalactic champion who's looking to get his belt back. And, like, because he was beaten by Koji's ancestor and, like... Angel is protecting it, or Kana Nakano is protecting the belt. So, like, that's, like, the second most fearsome warrior he ever fought. So mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not just gonna lightly go up against her. That's not how I'm gonna live this life. So, like, I don't know what the design should be, but I think it should just be like Hulk Hogan, but not Hulk Hogan.
Okay, yeah,
because, like, he's the biggest villain in all of professional wrestling.
Hulk Hogan, but like kind of a monster version.
Or like Hulk Hogan.
So like pretty much.
So Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Hey, I will never forgive Hulk Hogan. I mean, let alone the fact that like he's a huge racist and terrible person, but yeah. Like when he joined the NWO, it broke my heart when I was six. So like, I will never forgive him.
Yeah. I mean, it is at this point kind of low on the list of things that I'm not willing to forgive him for, but it's on the list.
But it never left the list. Or just literally Ric Flair could play the bad guy.
99 Ric Flair, I'm definitely on board with.
Because pretty much every Ric Flair is like very good.
Yeah.
The current one, I could not see him being a bad guy because he's like your sweet old grandpa who's like kind of a perv. But
he's
like
totally just losing it.
But like used to be the greatest of all time. But like 1999, he wasn't in WWF. He wasn't in WCW a lot. Like he still had all of his Ric Flair stuff. He just needed a better haircut because his late 90s haircut was very bad.
Yeah, but he was getting to the point where he was old enough that if you looked at him in the face, he could believably be like, you know, like a guy who had been doing this for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a guy who regularly wrestled 60-minute matches for 10 years.
Yeah.
I think maybe I want to go with just like straight up.
Just actually Ric Flair.
Actually Ric Flair.
And just like open every episode with him cutting a promo about the monster against the Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And don't give him a script. Just be like, here's this guy. He's going to be fighting these guys. Action.
And a go.
And he'll elbow drop his jacket and kick it in the high gear.
Also, at some point, we got to get... So should all of the monsters be played by wrestlers, like be voiced by real wrestlers? Because like I feel like that would be awesome.
I mean, if we can get them, sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, they were on like Charmed a lot. So like, I'm sure they'll do a voice for Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, they were probably on the same channel as Thunder in Paradise, right?
Yeah. So, like, mostly I just want Dusty Rhodes to end up being a monster and just see what would happen if you made Dusty Rhodes, like, I don't know, the Boston Crab. No, you couldn't make a Boston Crab. Just knowing Dusty Rhodes can do a Boston accent.
I would love to hear him try.
Oh, boy, who would be a good Boston Crab?
I mean, I immediately go to Killer Kowalski, but I don't know what his accent is like. I just know that he like lived in New England. Maybe Triple H, like 1999 Triple H doing like, because he's from New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. They say Connecticut, but he's from Nashua.
That's kayfabe. That's like very just like his name, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, is just like a very old relic in kayfabe.
Yeah. Yeah, when I went to Backlash in 2005, it was in New Hampshire. It's like, yeah, you know what they say about New Hampshire? It's a nice place to live, which is one of the slogans of New Hampshire. It's like that's Peterborough's town motto, and like New Hampshire is kind of like, it's one of our secondary mottos that we all adopted. Mm-hmm. But he's like, it's a nice place to live, but everyone here is assholes. And we're like, you're from here.
Oh, dude, I was at Raw last week, and Miz came out to do a Miz TV section, and... Miz is from Cleveland. I mean, specifically, he's from Parma. But, like, he came out, and everyone was going crazy. Because, you know, like, he's a hometown guy.
Yeah.
And as soon as everyone finishes cheering, he grabs the microphone. He's like, I live in L.A. now.
The Miz is the greatest.
He's so good.
There are three things that if you told me in, like, 2009, I would not believe you. Those three things are... You're going to love Heath Slater. Like you're going to want Heath Slater to be the champion of wrestling forever.
The turnaround for you on Heath Slater is like, remarkable. You went from this is the worst human being
dead.
I have ever seen to I just want him to be the champion forever.
I just want him to be
Please,
he should
just let him be happy.
He's got kids.
He should just be Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. Like, that's all. Number one, he'd be the most over babyface if he would have said one more line when he went against Brock Lesnar trying to get his job back. I don't want to get into it. It makes me upset. But number two is you're going to love The Miz, like, unironically. Like, The Miz is going to be one of the best people on the show. And the third thing is, there's going to be too much wrestling. You will not be able to keep up.
There's going to be too much WWE, and Cody Rhodes isn't going to be in it anymore.
Yeah. And he's going to be doing the best work of his career in places it's hard to watch.
Yeah. He's finally going to be happy, but you don't get to watch it.
Yeah, you get to see GIFs on on Twitter, and that's kind of it. So, I think, yeah, Triple H should be the Boston Crab. We'll get to monsters in a second. Dusty Rhodes is definitely on there, because he's another guy you're like, all right, your name is this. They're just the Power Rangers. You don't need to get more specific than that. Go ahead. We'll make it work.
Right. You do your bits first, and then we'll write the episode to make sure it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Do we want to give Ric Flair, like, literal Ric Flair? He's got to have the robe, obviously. It's got to be, like, cybernetic, though.
Oh, sure. There's got to be lights on that thing.
Like, it's 1999. It's got to be, like, a techno robe.
Now, how much of it do you want it to look like a weird techno robe, and how much of it do you want it to look like a cross between a Ric Flair robe and Jericho's light-up jacket?
I mean, that Venn diagram is a circle. Here's what I want in my heart of hearts. I want this to be the Mortal Kombat version of Ric Flair.
So it's just Ric Flair in like a cyber techno robe.
Maybe he's got something on one eye.
Oh, he's got to have some kind of face makeup on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's like half Kano.
Just something, right? Like, I don't know what, but something on his face, like maybe he's like blue, but like other than that, it's Ric Flair, and maybe he has like a robot, like Kano kind of mask, and then he's in like a Mortal Kombat techno Ric Flair robe with a $5,000 watch and alligator shoes.
Oh, absolutely. Space alligators.
Space alligators. Spalligators. Made from somebody on the... I'm trying to think of a good wrestling name. Suplex Alligator. Yeah, or whatever. Well, if he's a crocodile, it'll probably be some sort of ground move.
No, but hammer it should lock. Be an alligator, because people wrestle alligators.
Yeah. headlock alligator.
There's also got to be a bear.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Early on, you have to have the episode with the alligator monster, so that after that, he can conspicuously be wearing shoes made out of that monster.
Yes. Like, straight up the same suit.
Just carve up the suit when you're done and make bad shoes out of it.
Yeah. That would be amazing. That would be one of those things that, like, you watch for the 50th time and you go, oh my God, those are... Because when we did the prank episode last week, we watched, you know, the first episode of Power Rangers, which I'd seen, you know, more than anything else I've ever watched, except for maybe Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I saw something new in it, and I was like, hold on. And we had to pause, and I was like, they're using unaired pilot footage for one shot, and then they had to footage match that with their own footage. Like, how did I never notice this before? It's like 1 second. I don't know why they had that, because then the next shot is just that again. I guess they just didn't have the money to make the explosions a second time.
I feel like you have seen that episode so many times, you were beginning to like see the Matrix in it.
I think so. So I think we got Drago down.
Yeah, I think so.
Mortal Kombat Ric Flair is perfect.
Obviously.
So what are some monsters?
I have a real
do we
want to
do monsters or robots?
One.
I mean, I like them being monsters, because then they can conceivably be like, I like the same gimmick of like, this is the champion of this one, and if they beat you, their planet will be free. Like, that's not like free, but like, I'll leave them alone.
Okay.
You know?
Well, that makes it sad when they lose.
Yeah. That's that twist. That's the secret twist.
That's the mid-season twist.
Yeah. You don't find that out until after they've beaten, you know, Hammerlock Alligator and Pile Driver Bear and, you know.
And my personal favorite, Bulldog Bulldog.
Oh, man.
In 99, I think he could have been voiced by the British Bulldog.
Yeah, that could be the Book Dog himself. Or the Road Dog, if you want to get weird with it.
I don't.
Yeah, Octopus. That would just be Stretch Octopus, which sounds like a Mega Man villain.
It does.
If there was a wrestling themed Mega Man, all of these could just be the robot masters.
Oh, absolutely.
Moonsault Gecko.
Moonsault Gecko is very good. Something Phoenix. I'm just thinking of all the like animal wrestling moves, and I think I'm getting too close. Bear Hug Bear is too obvious again. That's why I like Pile Driver Bear.
We did briefly consider, instead of, I think we called it like the Dark Federation or whatever.
Yeah.
In Ringo Ranger, but we did talk about briefly having it be some dumb joke about like the dark side of the moon salt. Which I feel like could be an episode title.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because the Power Rangers love their pun titles.
Oh yeah,
like the most. Even when you will at the age that you are supposed to be watching Power Rangers, you could not conceivably get it. Like there's one called Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park.
I don't get that now.
There's a band called Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. But I only know that because they said it on Ranger Danger once.
that joke is just for Shooky.
Like literally,
or whoever wrote that one.
Yeah, it's for nobody else but whoever wrote it. Because like, there's no way a kid was like, "Oh, of course," unless you have very weird parents. Dark Side of the Moonsault absolutely would be whatever the Moonsault Geckos episode.
Yeah.
What else do we need to talk about? What else do we need to...
Zords?
Oh, boy. Okay, so they're all... So the Rangers are based on, like, natural phenomenon. Like, I don't want... Like, natural disasters, kind of, which was a tag team.
Earthquake
yeah,
and Typhoon.
One of them was, yeah, Earthquake and Typhoon were already a thing, and we did accidentally put them into this team, too.
That's okay. I think these ones are way better.
We could just do a quick reference... Like, in one episode, they just team up against the bad guy.
Yeah, and then they get beaten. Then the yellow and pink ranger come in, like, we got this. Don't worry.
Yellow is Earthquake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And the pink ranger's Typhoon, so they would come in and be like...
They do she does the Earthquake stop where she just jumps around them.
Yeah.
Runs the ropes and sits on them.
It could be very good. Everything about the show would be very good. So Zords... How would you conceivably have a Zord that was the concept of an earthquake or a tornado?
I think we should lean farther away from trying to personify lightning and make it more of like a giant wrestler robot that has lightning powers.
I like that better. Have it be like a humanoid robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of
like the
Alien
Rangers.
Yeah. What are they called in Power Rangers? The Beast...
The
battlers,
they're like battles, not battle zords. It's been so long since we watched it.
I can't remember. I've pushed Alien Rangers out of my head. So
maybe it's just battlers. I don't know.
Yeah, like they've got an animal head, but they are largely
people.
Humanoid.
Yeah. So they would they have like a, because they can't be animals because the bad guys are all animal themed, right? So like
their heads would be more. Of like an abstract representation of what the masks are. So maybe like the Red Rangers is like a humanoid head, but where the lightning bolt is on the Red Rangers mask, it just like continues off and like forms a full lightning bolt shape.
Or like comes off the sides or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like how in Zeo, what is Red Puncher called in Zeo?
I could not tell you. We exclusively called him Red Puncher once we found out that was his name.
But you know, like that dude, he basically looks like a giant Zord version of the Red Ranger.
Yeah. And then like the Shape Zords, which you guys haven't got to in O-Ranger yet, I don't think.
No, we
a couple episodes behind. But yeah, the Shape Zords are one of my favorite Zords because they just shapes. They're like, we did dinosaurs, we did like animals, but ninjas, we did, mythical creatures, we've done jet planes. What's next? Shapes, probably. And they're like, yeah, good
sure,
enough.
Go for it, man.
If you can make it work.
That's the thing about O-Ranger. It's like, okay, their superpowers are from like Earth energy. Their masks are basic geometric shapes. And at least their first set of robots are like ancient monuments.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot going on there. You can kind of do whatever, really.
Yeah. And then they just went with shapes. And they're some of my favorite toys that I ever had. So yeah, they have like some sort of like the abstract version of like, you know, a lightning bolt, an earthquake. By the way, the tornado one, because you said it was like basically just a triangle, there's a wrestler, like a luchador whose name is, I might be pronouncing this wrong, it's been a while since I've heard it, Tenebrius. His mask is one of my favorites, but it's like this big triangle, like it would look just like the one. So like, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
That's very good.
But yeah, so it would be like that. Their Zord would have to be like I'm trying to think of like a Japanese, like the most famous Japanese wrestler of the time would probably be the Great Muta, right? Like, so it had to be like kind of Great Muta-esque. It would have a mist finish, a poison mist finisher.
Okay, here's the question. Does the Red Lightning Zord form the head, or does it form the championship belt that this robot is wearing?
Ooh. I think it would probably still the head. Be the head.
Yeah. Maybe the champion belt just like comes in, kind of like a power sword, just like descends from the heavens and wraps around the Megazord.
That's their power sword. They whip off the belt and one side of it sharpens into a sword.
Or no, they just take the belt off and hit the bad guy with it.
See, that is a good idea, because my terrible idea is that it was going to be their giant mega sword was going to be a kendo stick.
I mean, that's perfect.
And then Steve Blackman comes in and beats the monster.
No, you're the only one who likes Steve Blackman this much. You have single-handedly kept him from fading from conscious memory.
Not for me.
Steve Blackman and Ken Shamrock are two of my favorite parts of the Attitude Era. So
weird.
Steve Blackman. Sorry, I'm just Googling this guy. Well, the first two pictures that come up are a dude with a kendo stick.
Yep.
Yep, that was all he did, was hit people with kendo sticks, and sometimes he would kick.
Yep.
Oh, no, here's a dude. There he is with nunchucks.
Yeah, when he first started, before the kendo stick thing really took off, he was like the human weapon.
The lethal weapon was his wrestling nickname.
Yeah, because he was like a straight up, like a legit tough guy that just like did wrestling. And then he just, I don't know, got a hold of a kendo stick and was like, this just feels right.
Yep. And then he knocked Shane McMahon off of a Titantron.
Oh, that was him, wasn't it?
Yep, that was Steve Blackman.
Oh, Steve Blackman's the best. I come around. Yeah, so... Another thing we didn't mention on the show, but when the morphing, like the Zord sequence, not Zord sequence, but like when the monsters grow, it's because the moon opens, like craters on the moon open up and fire rockets out that become giant ring posts, and form an impromptu wrestling ring, which is the dopest thing ever.
Okay, so the way that this works is that typically, if you've got a ring, you know, unless it's a handicapped match, you can only have, you know, one legal man on each side. So yeah, the reason that they have to form the Megazord is because otherwise they could only each have like one of their individual dudes in the ring, or else they'd get disqualified.
I guess
the referee? Is there a referee?
Well, okay, so Dave said there was an umpire, which is the funniest, like... I don't want to drag your brother.
But Dave doesn't watch a lot of wrestling.
When he reached for the word referee, he got the word umpire back, and he just ran with it, and I appreciate that. But there absolutely should be a referee. Here's the problem. Is the referee a robot, or is it a big monster? And if it is it on the take?
I like the idea of the... like Galactic Wrestling Federation is this just giant entity that exists outside of Durago.
He's just like the champion.
Yeah. Like so there is an impartial referee sent by the Galactic Wrestling Federation.
Right, because it's got to be a legal match. Right. It's like how when they had the Ultimate Deletion, there was a ref on the Hardy compound.
Yeah. And he was like, fireworks are legal. You can throw them, you know, you can hide behind a dilapidated boat. You can throw them in a lake.
You can try to kill a man with a lawnmower.
But you do have to pin them, and I do need to count it. so I also like that. And, like, Durago is not, like, because, again, the championship belt is in the dojo. So, like, he's not the champion. He's just, like, you know when like John Cena is not the champion, he's still the champion,
yeah,
but like a heel version of that.
He's the face of the company.
Yeah.
The face that runs the place.
And because, like, there's no champion, there hasn't been for 1,000 years because, you know, the last champion died. But because, again, the rules are all screwy, you don't give up the belt just because you're dead.
Right. You can't, right. You can't defeat a dead person.
Yeah.
Earth, so Earth is still defending that belt with the Freebird rules.
Yeah. Oh, yes. at some point, there is going to have to be a tag team of monsters, right? And like it's like that's when they get their second Zord.
Or
like,
yeah, there has to be a multi-arc Survivor Series angle or a multi-episode Survivor Series arc.
Yeah, there's so many good things. So many wrestling angles that you can just be like, but Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's like it's all right there. They have already designed an entire structure around compelling television. You just need to take literally anything they've already done and say, but Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if, like, 10 episodes out from the end, Durago wins the title back?
Oh, yes.
And so now we have to do like a Royal Rumble of like a bunch of monsters and the Power Rangers. Like the winner gets to challenge Durago in the series finale.
Yes.
Which will obviously be the Red Ranger.
Sure.
No, what it should be is that they're like, we'll start out separate, like in our set, because there's five of us, so we'll have the better odds. But like that's not working because those Zords aren't as powerful. So they like have to combine into the Megazord, and that's when they start cleaning house.
Yeah.
That's when they're like just like clotheslining over the ropes left and right, tossing people out.
And we could have Durago on the outside of the quote unquote wrestling ring, like trying to grab the Rangers and pull them over so they can't win.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, the finale, the marquee match at Space Mania.
Galactomania
is the Power Rangers Grap Squad versus Champion Durago, who is, again, literally Ric Flair. So then that means that Ric Flair has to wrestle a robot suit.
Man, 99 Ric Flair, he could do it.
Ric Flair wrestled a jacket.
If anyone could do it, it's the Nature Boy.
Oh, God, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, this is just breaking my heart all over again that this is not a real thing.
So if anyone has like a bunch of money, we can make this happen. It would be current wrestler, so it wouldn't be Ric Flair. It would have to be Cody Rhodes. I think he's the perfect champion Durago of the modern era.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Especially like current American Nightmare Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh,
the Survivor Series arc can be our Psycho Rangers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be perfect. The Psycho Rangers are my fave. That would be so good. I don't think we need to do anything else unless anyone else has anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, we already came up with the perfect show.
Yeah, pretty much toe to tip. It's a BART.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't name it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess Grab Squad's pretty good.
I do really like Grab Squad. It was my joke placeholder that I grew attached to, so.
Power Ranger Wrestle Buddies.
It's copyrighted.
No, Wrestling Buddies is copyrighted.
Okay, there's the hook. I don't want to get into that litigious.
Oh man, the merchandising on this season. Actual Power Ranger Wrestling Buddy, like pillow Power Rangers that you can fight. I would buy every one of those.
Absolutely.
Every monster, every ranger.
All of the transformation device championship belts.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, God, that would be so good. They have three modes. They have two modes, because they would also turn into a straight-up championship belt that you could then, like, just... It's not in the show, but it's just a thing that the toys can do.
We'd have to contact Mattel and see if we could make our action figure. Is it Mattel that does wrestling action figures?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's Jack Specific.
Right. We'd have to contact them and see if we can get them to do our action figures so that...
They look good.
They're compatible.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so we don't have to make our own chairs and kendo sticks.
Yeah.
As long as the hands are the right size.
And also, if you want the Red Lightning Ranger to fight The Rock, you could do that.
Yeah.
And you should want that.
Yeah, maybe you want to have a 55-person battle royal with all your wrestlers, but also a bunch of monsters.
Just
and
some
Power
monsters
Rangers.
Find their way in. And Casey Jones, my forever world champion, who does not fit with the other action figures, but that doesn't matter because he's Casey Jones.
So I don't know. Do we want to go Grab Squad or is there anything else?
I feel like our choices are either go with the like wonderful name that is Grab Squad or sit here for another half an hour trying to find something that is kind of as good as that.
That's true. All right. So Power Rangers Grab Squad coming to you in a better world. Unfortunately, not this one. Unless, of course, someone has a bunch of money. We can make it happen. I know wrestlers. I know independent professional wrestlers. We can make it work. So, Matt, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh,
I had a ton of fun.
Me.
Where can people find you and your podcast?
People can find me on Twitter at Super Sentai Bros. The podcast is the Super Sentai Brothers. We are on probably wherever you find podcasts, unless you get your podcast somewhere very weird. That is
unless
our,
you got a guy.
That is our weekly. We're currently watching through O-Ranger series. We're about 20 episodes in. But we have previous seasons. If you're a fan of Jetman, Dire Ranger, or Cocky Ranger, did we do another one? Or those? No, we're on season 4 now. That's cool. I know what we've done. Also, Jake and I have a different podcast, Spectre, where we're watching all the James Bonds.
Yeah, we just watched a really weird one.
Yes, we did.
Casino Royale 1967 is a fever dream. People thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, I would have been so impressed with us if we had pulled off inventing all of that movie.
Yeah, I don't think anyone alive could make that movie because it took 5 people to direct that movie. So, like, you would need at least that many to make it work. But yeah, thank you very much for coming on again.
Yeah, man, anytime.
For this Bird Boys from the Top Rope. We are on Twitter at Morphin Grid. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on, I already said Twitter. I started with Twitter. I normally don't. I messed myself up. Editing all this out. Our archives are heyjakeandjosh@gmail. Nope,
that's an email.
Now I'm all torn up because I didn't start the way I normally
do. You're on Facebook at...
We're not on Facebook.
No. I mean, technically, we are on Facebook.
We're kind of on Facebook, but they just steal all your information, so who cares? Our website is heyjakeandjosh.com/morphingrid. That's where the archives are. You can also rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podknife, Podbay. At some point, once I get that website up and running, might be never. Who knows? We're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can get some cool stuff in return, including our tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills episodes. Which, if you want to talk a wild ride, Matt, that is some 90s business there.
Turns out, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but it's a good show, actually.
Yeah, it's not a perfect show. There's a lot of bad stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff in there that you don't hear about.
There's a good show buried deep in there if you look for it.
But it also is exactly what you would make if you wanted to parody a 1994 version of Power Rangers.
Okay.
Today. Like, you couldn't make a better parody than the show that really exists and is available on Amazon for
$7. $7. Man, I got $7. Maybe I should look into this.
It's 40 episodes. It's weirdly watchable. I highly recommend it. So we will see you next week for probably the Morphies. I don't know how many weeks we have left. Next week will either be our award show or... it'll be the week after, and next week will be a surprise. So we'll see you then. But until next time,
may the power protect you.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six. I don't know if I was supposed to do all the even numbered ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just because there are two of us and I don't want to be left out.
Yeah.